Praise the Lord, dear friends. Recently, there was a write-up in the Daily Hindu, to be exact, on 15th November 2006. The write-up concerned about the purchase of a house, a mansion in London, by a leading Indian industrialist or industrialist of Indian origin. It was reported that the house was bought at the price of $124 million, approximately 600 crores of rupees. And the news reporter went on to say that this is a kind of prestigious deal and the Indians could feel proud about such a deal because now they can go back to the land of the one-time masters and establish their industry and their power, their influence on this land, England. A mansion of 12 rooms for 600 crores of rupees. And this is presented as a prestigious deal. I cited this example in a series of talks concerning about Jesus of the Gospels. And today I would like to focus our attention on Jesus' teaching about wealth and about how we should deal with wealth. After teaching us how to pray, how not to pray and how to pray, Jesus is telling about the future, about our concern, what our concern should be. I read it from the Gospel of Matthew. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Jesus is speaking about treasures, and at his time, three types of treasures were important. How they were investing, keeping their wealth. And one is the wealth that is accumulated grain or food grains. This is how they used to store up. For example, in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 12, Jesus speaks a parable about a person whose field produced a great crop, and he was wondering what to do with it. So in the so-called parable of the rich fool, in Gospel of Luke, chapter 12, verses 16 and following, we read, then he told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly, and he thought to himself, what should I do? For I have no place to store my crops. Then he said, I'll do this. I'll pull down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Saul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry. So this is one type of wealth. Plenty of grain, a lot of grain that is being hoarded up in big barns. But the problem with the grain, this can be eaten by rats. So Jesus is, when speaking about the treasures, he tells us not to keep treasures on earth where moth and rust consume. The word rust, translated as rust, can also mean a rat. It's not so much the metals, but the insects and tiny creatures that eat up the grain. So grains accumulated will be of no use because it can be lost. Besides, this accumulated grain and accumulated wealth gives no guarantee to the person that he will be able to enjoy it for long. The grain could be eaten by rats. It could be destroyed various ways. But also, the person who is accumulating this wealth can lose his life. And that's what Jesus tells in the parable of the rich man in verse 20 of chapter 12. But God said to him, "You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich towards God." So the wealth, first the grains can be eaten, and also the wealth can be lost for the person because he loses his life. The second type of wealth is the clothes that can be eaten by moths. Expensive dresses were a way of accumulating, keeping wealth. That's why John asked the people when they came to him to be baptized to share the cords. If you have two cords, give one to the one who has none. And expensive clothing was a sign of great wealth. That's why Jesus said when he spoke about John the Baptist to the people who came to him, so when the disciples of John had gone, Jesus said to those around him, chapter 7 of the Gospel of Luke, verses 24 and following. When John's messengers had gone, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to look at? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? Someone dressed in soft robes? Look, those who put on fine clothing and live in luxury are in royal palaces." So, fine clothes, expensive clothes, is a sign of luxury, sign of wealth. That is the same thing that Jesus brings in the description of the rich man, in the parable of rich man and Lazarus. This man also was dressed in purple and very expensive clothes. So man can accumulate his wealth by way of buying expensive clothes. But Jesus tells these expensive clothes can be moth-eaten, so the wealth doesn't last. The third type of wealth is gold, accumulated and put away in treasures. But then there is the danger of this being stolen by thieves. So the three types of wealth mentioned, grains, expensive clothing, and gold, gives no guarantee whatsoever. This all can be lost. Now the question is, why does people keep on accumulating wealth? What is the reason for accumulating? There is an amount, there is a limit to the amount one can consume. Even if you have 100 tons of grains, you cannot eat them all. A very little is sufficient for the use of man, whatever be the wealth. A person who has a mansion with 100 rooms, he cannot live or he cannot sleep in all these 100 beds. He need only one. So when a person has a great amount of wealth, it doesn't mean that he can use it all. Why do people go on building huge houses, expensive instruments, gadgets, and accumulating wealth in various ways? One thing, it seems, that gives them a kind of sense of security. To secure the future, ensure the future against all sorts of odds, all sorts of misfortunes that might happen. So keeping wealth for tomorrow, guaranteeing one's well-being, one's own well-being and the well-being of the children and children's children for generations to come. But we know from experience that this accumulated wealth gives no guarantee. And Jesus also tells, this is no guarantee for life. Fool, tonight your life will be demanded of you. So the life is not everlasting on this earth. And this has been very well understood and explained in the Old Testament. For example, Psalm 39, verse 6. Psalm 39, verse 6 speaks to us like this. Surely everyone goes about like a shadow. Surely for nothing they are in turmoil. They heap up and do not know who will gather. They heap up, but do not know who will gather. What is being accumulated today will be destroyed tomorrow, and we do not know who will be the heir of it. In Psalm 49, verse 10, when we look at the wise and they die, fool and dolt perish together, and leave their wealth to others. When people perish, the wealth is given to others. Verse 12, mortals cannot abide in their pomp. They are like the animals that perish. Again, verse 17 of Psalm 49. For when they die, they will carry nothing away. Their wealth will not go down after them. So Jesus is telling not to accumulate wealth or treasures here on earth. It gives no guarantee for life, and it will not last forever. And then he goes on to say that one has to keep up treasures, not here on earth, but in heaven. So that's what he tells us. Store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes, and where thieves do not break in and steal. And how is one to accumulate or store up treasures in heaven? Jesus has taught us in various ways through many parables. One example is in chapter 16 of Luke, verses 1 to 9. The end of the parable I read first. I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of dishonest wealth, so that when it is gone, they may welcome you into the eternal home. Make friends with dishonest wealth, or mammon of iniquity is the original. So Jesus is asking to make friends with the money that is iniquitous. And how can one make friends with money that is unjust? Or why it is called the wealth as dishonest? The parable is this. Jesus said to them, the disciples, there was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought to him that this man was squandering his property. So he summoned him and said to him, what is this that I hear about you? Give me an account of your management, because you cannot be my manager any longer. Then the manager said to himself, what will I do now that my master is taking my position away from me? I am not strong enough to dig, and I am ashamed to beg. I have decided what to do, so that when I am dismissed as a manager, people may welcome me into their homes. So summoning his master's debtors, one by one, he asked the first, how much do you owe my master? He answered, 100 jugs of olive oil. He said to him, take your bill, sit down quickly, and make it 50. Then he said to another, and how much do you owe? He replied, 100 containers of wheat. He said to him, take your bill and make it 80. And his master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. So this is the parable. A manager who acts dishonestly but secures his future by distributing generously. Of course, the property of his master. But however, this manager is securing his future because he knows that he is in a great danger of losing everything. So by distributing freely the goods of his master among the debtors, he is making friends of them. So this is the mammon of iniquity. The wealth that he is distributing among the debtors is a wealth that did not belong to him. It has been a mammon of iniquity, unjust or dishonest wealth. Why is it said the wealth is dishonest? Or mammon of iniquity. Mammon is the Greek word coming from Hebrew. That is the equivalent to an idol, to money. And this money, this wealth is iniquitous or unjust because of two reasons. First, it is accumulated in an unjust way. the acquisition of wealth, the way one generates wealth can be unjust. And one example is given in the letter of St. James, chapter 5, verses 1 to 4. Come now, you rich people, weep and wail for the miseries that are coming to you. Your riches have rotted, and your clothes are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver have rusted, and their rust will be evidence against you, and it will eat your flesh like fire. You have laid up treasures for the last days. Listen, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you have kept back by fraud, cry out, and the cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord of hosts. The way the one accumulated money was unjust. One has appropriated the wealth that belonged to another's. So this unjust way of acquiring wealth, this is one reason of this mammon of iniquity. The second reason is this accumulated wealth is kept for oneself, not sharing with others who are in need. So the way one gets wealth or the way one uses wealth, both of these can be called the unjust or iniquity. Now Jesus is asking to make friends with the mammon of iniquity, friends that would be able to receive us in heaven, as I said, laying up treasures in heaven. And for that, what Jesus is telling us is share your wealth with those who are in need. Give to the hungry, give food to the hungry, clothing to those who have none. So that is what Jesus would say at the end of the last day of judgment. In the Gospel of Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 to 46, we have the parable of the last judgment. And the only criterion of the judgment is this, whether we have been able to share our goods with those who have none. I was hungry, you gave me food, Jesus would say. If we are sharing our bread, our food with those who are hungry, that's where the way we treasure up our treasures in heaven, where no rust will rust or moth will eat, or no thief would break in. So sharing with the needy, helping those who are in need, sharing what we have today will be the only way of securing our future. So we can face death not as an end of life, not as a surprise, but as the beginning of a new life with the Father in heaven. But in order to be able to share what we have, we should have faith and trust in God that He will not allow us to lack anything that is necessary. That's what Jesus goes on to tell the disciples towards the end of the Sermon on the Mount. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't ask what you will eat or how you will dress. All these are needed. And God knows that these are all needed for us, and He will provide. So don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will be worrying for itself. So all the worries will end the moment we trust in God. Trust in God, our Father, who cares for us, who feeds the birds of the air and clothes the lilies of the field, who gives everything that is needed, who knows our needs before we pray, and He has care. The Father cares much more for us than for the flowers of the field and the birds of the air. We are much more worthy, much more precious in His eyes. So the trust, absolute trust in the Father's providence should enable us to share our wealth, our time, our resources, and energy with others. That is the way we treasure up or guarantee our lives forever. Now let us conclude with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You for giving us guarantee that You will care for us, assuring us that You know our needs and He will provide. Enable us to trust in You. Enable us to open our hearts and open our hands to those who are in need. Keep us from the temptation of accumulating wealth when there are millions and millions of people starving to death. Enable us not to go after this prestige and power that accumulated wealth brings us. Enable us not to honor those who are accumulating wealth in an unjust way. Enable us to see all our neighbors as brothers and sisters, to love them and to share with them. We make this prayer through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.